Good evening. There we go. Ray disappeared. Oh, no. Can you hear me? Oh, well, okay, you can't hear me. This is embarrassing. All right. So thank you all for coming out tonight. It's a great privilege and honor for me to be able to talk in front of you and be able to preach God's word. I remember when I was a freshman and I was coming here, I grew so much from it, and I really appreciate all that Ray has done putting this on and the elders here for all the work that you're doing, allowing us to have this. It was really a blessing as a freshman being here and listening to guys like Midley Jadis, Tucker Vincent, Jay Hall, and so many others that I really learned a lot from, guys that really lived out who they were as a Christian. And so I pray tonight, and it's my hope, that you'll be able to get something out of this lesson, and it's something that I'm excited that I get to talk about. Whenever the Google Doc was sent out to those that us were speaking, luckily I'm one of those people that has the Google Doc app on your phone, and so like I could go and I was immediately able to choose the lesson I wanted, so I was like the first one on it, which is truly a blessing, because if you don't get to do that, then you might get stuck with a really, really hard lesson or one that you're not comfortable with. But luckily I'm comfortable with this one, and so it works out. And when I selected it, I made three promises to myself that I was going to do when I spoke. So there's like three goals I had. The first goal I had was I wasn't going to pull a Midley Jadis and speak for 56 minutes. And so only a few of you laugh. That's okay. If you're in my shoes and you're a junior, when I was a freshman, Midley spoke, and he spoke for like 56 minutes, and 30 minutes into it, I had to go to the bathroom really bad. And it was in the old building. It's crammed. You can't go out. And so it was really rough. But he did a really good job, but it was really tough on me and my bladder. So I just didn't want to do that to you tonight, so don't worry. We won't talk very long. And another thing I had, though, is a goal, and I don't know how many of you pay attention to tweets during chapel, but you always know when graphic design majors get really mad, right? Because someone used Comic Sans in their lesson. Well, don't you worry, graphic design majors. Comic Sans is in my lesson tonight just for you. Only on one slide, though, so it's okay. But my third goal, and this is actually on a more serious note, my goal for tonight was I don't want to be the preacher or the teacher or speaker or whatever that comes and speaks to you and steps on your toes. I think too oftentimes people, they get up here and they step on your toes. And really that's wrong, because I feel like they're aiming too low. Tonight, I want to prick your heart. I want God's word to touch your heart as it's touched mine, because truly this is something that I struggle with a lot. I wake up every day and I go to sleep every night praying about this, because this is the biggest struggle in my life, and that's me. And it's my walk with God, and it's my heart. And so tonight, I hope that you realize that I'm not up here trying to look like a hypocrite, because at a lot of times, I'm going to be saying things, and you're like, well, you don't live that out a lot of times. Well, I'm working on it, and God's working in me. And so I hope tonight that you'll accept that, and that you'll look at your life, and you'll open your heart to the idea that you are the one that might be keeping yourself from God. It may not be the media, as Austin talked about. It may not be so much your relationships, as Nick talked about. It might not so much be the stuff in your life, as Harrison talked about. It might not so much be the work that you have or the job that you have, as Mason talked about. And it might not be religion, like Daniel talked about last week. Really and truly, what it might be is the fact that your heart and my heart, well, sometimes it's not where God wants it. And sometimes it's not where we need it to be. And so tonight, I hope that you open your eyes up to that and your heart up to that. The passage that Logan read for us earlier came from the book of Romans. And Paul is talking and saying, look, you know, in my life, when I do things wrong and I struggle and I fall away from God, it's not me who does it, but it's a sin that dwells within me. It's my flesh. Inside of me, it hurts so bad because I'm walking away from God at this time. But it's the flesh within me. It's the sin within me that's doing it. And so tonight, I also hope that you realize that as a Christian, your call is not to be someone who fails. Your call is to be someone that is righteous. And as a Christian, by nature, you are called to be righteous, and you are righteous. But when we do fall short, that's the fleshly part of you, and that's the human side. And so tonight, I also hope as we go through this lesson that you realize that the mistakes that you've made in your life, especially when you're a Christian and you make these mistakes, I hope that you realize that's your flesh. That's your body that's doing that. That's your mind. That's your heart falling away from God. And tonight, I hope that we can get that back on track. We're going to look at what the Israelites had going on in their life tonight from the book of Jeremiah. So if you want to go ahead and turn to the book of Jeremiah, we'll be in chapter 2. I think the book of Jeremiah is a really neat book, and I really love what God talks about in this book and how he's talking to the Israelites. He starts out here in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest, and all who ate of it incurred guilt and disaster came upon them, declares the Lord. Here we see the beginning, or what was the beginning of a relationship between God and the Israelite nation, and God saying, I remember when you and I, when we were young and we were in love. Don't you remember that? There's Comic Sans for you. When we were young, we were in love, and we're walking through life, It was great. I remember that devotion that you had to me. I remember the love that you showed me. You know, I was that God to you that I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of that bondage, and here I am. We have a great relationship. I was the God that I protected you, because when people wanted to come and bring disaster upon you, guess what? I was there, and I protected you. I was that God, and I remember that devotion, because it was truly a beautiful thing. And I think about my life, and I think about how that's very similar, and I feel like God says the same thing to me. He says, Paul, I remember when you and I were in a young relationship together, and we were so in love, and there was passion there. There was devotion. There was drive to do good. There was a desire there to serve me every day, and I was there with you, walking beside you as you served me. I remember that. I remember that too. I remember I was young. I was like 11 years old, and I was thinking about getting baptized. You know, the typical Church of Christ 11-year-old thing. You know, you've grown up in a church, so I should get baptized. You know, I know about Jesus. He's the Son of God. He died for me, saved me from my sins. God sent him here to die for me. So, you know, it seemed like the right thing to do. And as a young guy, as a young kid, I got baptized. And at that point in life, it felt really good. My relationship with God was strong. At 12 years old, I moved to Tennessee, and I was being a part of a youth group now, and that was really cool. And so I'm around all these other 12 and 13-year-olds, and we're growing together, and it's really fun, right? My relationship with God is great. Really don't have any temptations going on. As a 12-year-old, no one's trying to get you drunk on the weekends. No one's trying to go get you to snort and crack or whatever they do. I don't know. I don't know what drugs. I don't pay attention to drugs. But anyway, so, you know, no one's trying to get me to do that. As a 12-year-old, no, I'm not really thinking about having sex, so that's not a problem for me. I'm not looking at pornography as a 12-year-old. As a 12-year-old, I'm not worried about lying, cheating, or stealing. I mean, my parents would supply me with things. I don't know why I'd need to steal. You know, so there's not really anything going on in my life as a young person that I have a struggle with. And even in high school, my life was going pretty well. In high school, I wasn't the guy that anybody would come up to and say, hey, you want to go have a party this weekend? We're going to get drunk. We're going to do drugs. And that may be because I might not have had many friends, but it also might be because of the type of person I was. I just didn't really want to be a part of it. And so that wasn't a struggle. Girls, I've never really been good with girls or whatever. And so, believe it or not, in high school, I really didn't date a lot. Dated like 3 girls. I know that's a surprise for you here tonight. But that was me. And so I didn't have these problems going on. I was living a pretty good life with God. And I remember that devotion. And maybe you here tonight, maybe you remember the devotion that you and God shared. Maybe you remember that relationship. But as all relationships, there's things that happen and which problems arise. God says, going on, he says, what wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and they went after worthlessness and they became worthless? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that none passes through, where no man dwells? And I brought you into a plentiful land to enjoy its fruits and its good things. But when you came in, you defiled my land and you made my heritage an abomination. The priests, they did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handle the law, they did not know me. The shepherds, they transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and they went after things that do not profit. See, problems arise in our relationship with God at times. And God is saying now to the Israel, like, what wrong? What happened? You know, why are you walking away from me? Am I not the God that just brought you out of your bondage in Egypt? Am I not the God that was with you? I'm bringing you through this land that no other person could get through. Anybody else would die, but you know what? I am God. I'm the only true God, and I am with you. What went wrong? And I look at my life, and I think, you know, I think God says the same thing to me. In my life, I started getting farther away from God. I come to college, and I start to go down a path in which I'm not proud of. And I start to find myself walking, and things start to get darker and darker. And maybe in your life, problems started arising in your relationship with God. And you notice you started doing things in which you're not proud of, things that you wish you never would have done, but nonetheless, you did them. And so you start to walk away from God. And as you walk away from God, you find yourself getting in a point where it's darker and darker. And you know what God says? God goes on, and in verse 13, he's telling the heavens, he says, look, angels, heaven above, be appalled, be shocked, be utterly desolate. For my people, they have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that hold no water. God says, I am the fountain of living life. Yeah, living waters, I'm life, sorry. Tongue twister, there we go. So that's the first one out of the way. So here I am, I'm God, and I am life for you. I am everything that you could possibly need, but here you are, and you people, this is crazy to me, because you're leaving me. You're going after things that are worthless. I am water. I'm the fountain of living water. And here you are building cisterns for yourself, and they're broken. They don't hold any water. Literally, what you're doing is worthless. And I think about that in my life, and I think, how pathetic am I? God looks at me and says, Paul, I've given you everything you need. Am I not the God that has been here from you from the beginning? Am I not the God that has been walking with you, that has been blessing you, that has been showing you the way, and here you are going after worthless things? And maybe some of you in your life, you think about that, and it's very similar to you. And if that's the case, you might have been where I was at midway through my freshman year, and you find yourself in complete and utter darkness. And when you're in complete and utter darkness, it's pretty terrifying. Because you find yourself doing things that you never thought you'd do. You start walking in life and you think, you know what, I really need someone to care for me. I need affection of some sort. So you maybe do what I do. And you start being manipulative. You start going and you start fooling around with girls that you shouldn't be. You thought you wanted a date, but really and truly all you want is a sexual feel. You want something to get you going. Something to make you feel like you're worth something. Because you feel like you aren't. Because you've been walking away from God for so long that you finally wandered into this darkness, this pathetic darkness. And it's terrifying. But what's sad is you get comfortable in the darkness. And so you keep on doing the things that you are so ashamed of. You keep on going and you keep on manipulating people. You keep on going and you keep on making others look like complete fools. You keep making them look like they're stupid, like they're worthless, like there's no point for their life to be here. You make them look terrible. You're very prideful. You're cocky. You have everything you want, and you are going to do whatever you have to do to get it because you are so consumed by the darkness that you don't know what else to do, and you're terrified. Maybe some of you are feeling that right now because, whether we like to admit it or not, on Freed's Hardman campus, there's those of you here tonight that you struggle with alcohol really bad. There's those of you here tonight that are really struggling with drugs. There's those of you possibly here tonight that you're going and you're having premarital sex, or not even that, but just fooling around with your girlfriend or boyfriend. And at the end of the night, you know it wasn't right, but it felt good, so why not? There's those of you here that are liars, cheaters, stealers. Those of you who are doing all sorts of things that you know you shouldn't be doing, like I am. And we've fallen away from God and we're standing in this darkness and we feel so alone. But sadly, the darkness starts to become comforting because it's all that you know. Maybe there's some of you that are like that. And if that's the case, I want to encourage you by something. And that is God, no matter how dark the situation is, God always provides a light. In my life, throughout my freshman year, I was doing all these stupid things. And I look back and think about how pathetic I was. And I had a plan. Sophomore year, I was going to get on track. I was going to do what I needed to do for God. And it was going to be right. But I came back to school and everybody already had preconceived notions about me. Paul was going to do this. Paul was going to do that. So you know what? I thought, yeah, sure. I'm just going to do it. And so I kept on doing what I was doing through the first semester of my sophomore year. And then finally, I got tired of going to bed at night wishing that I would just die. I prayed to God at night sometimes that, God, will you please forgive me of my sins and then not let me wake up tomorrow, because I don't want to keep on going through this life sinning. Because I didn't know how to get out. And God answered my prayer, but not in the way that I thought. God answered my prayer through showing me a light through my friends. God answered my prayers through showing me the light that He lives inside of people, that He is living within my close friends that came to me and they confronted me about what I was doing and said, Paul, we love you, but we're here for you too. And we're here to help you through this. God loves you and God forgives you. We forgive you. Now forgive yourself. And I've finally been able to do that. And so tonight, I hope that you realize that you do not have to keep walking in darkness. Because God is showing you a light. God has a light there for you. It might be through your friends, through your family, whatever it might be. But tonight, I hope that you realize that you do not have to be in that darkness. So tonight, I want to encourage you by saying this. Stop dwelling in the darkness and come and live in the light and be plugged into God as we stand and as we sing.